Whitey Bulger is scheduled to go on trial in June in a racketeering indictment that accuses him of playing a role in 19 murders. In the book Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice, prize-winning Boston Globe reporters Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy offer never-before-published information as they tell the remarkable true story of Whitey's astonishing career. From teenage thievery to bank robberies to Alcatraz to the building of his underworld empire while working as an FBI informant. It is a pleasure to welcome Kevin Cullen to the roundtable this morning. Kevin, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, John.
Obviously, this book has been getting a lot of press, and it's a fascinating story. You've been working on this case for a very, very long time.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like my maternal side is from South Boston, and I spent a lot of time there as a kid. So if you're from South Boston, you sort of learn about Whitey Bulger by osmosis. He's always been there. But by the time I was a crime reporter for the Boston Herald, then for the Globe, beginning in the mid-'80s, I really started following this guy because even though his brother was by then the president of the Massachusetts State Senate, he wasn't a guy that you read about much. He kind of worked the margins. He worked the shadows. And his relationship with the FBI really helped that. The way that this really came about a light is that John Conley, his FBI handler, was my best FBI source at the time. And I get really uncomfortable because whenever I would talk about Bulger being a killer and that he was moving drugs, John would defend him. And it got to the point where I had to make this decision, and I went to my editors in 1987 or early 1988 and said, you know what, I think Bulger's an FBI informant. There's no other explanation. This guy is the most senior Irish mobster in town. The mafia guys have been taken off the count now for 5 years. He's the biggest gangster in town, and they won't move on him, and I think they won't move on him because he's a rat. It was the only logical explanation in my eyes. And so the Globe, I became launched an investigative team effort. I became part of that effort in 1988, our spotlight team. And we ended up finding and actually confirming at the highest levels, John Conley's supervisor, John Morris, who was equally corrupt in his protection of Whitey Bulger. I think he actually confirmed it to us because he wanted to get rid of Bulger, not necessarily kill him, but I think he believed if we put this in the paper, the FBI would have to end its relationship with Bulger. In fact, the FBI denied our story at the time and actually retained Bulger as an informant for at least another 3 years. He only retired as an informant when John Conley's handler retired. And as you'll see in the book, this corruption, this corrupt relationship really goes back to the Stoops in the project in South Boston where Conley grew up and where Whitey Bulger grew up. And Conley's embrace of him, he was able to do it at one level, because when you're an FBI agent, you get rewarded both financially and with prestige in the Bureau when you create informants, particularly when you can say, I have a top echelon informant. It's a guy that's very senior in crime, and he's given me information. So that helped Conley's career. But there was always this other motive there, which was to protect Whitey Bulger as an extension of protecting the Bulger family, because John Conley was indebted to them, particularly to Billy Bulger, who would have been a mentor. That he would have been a guy that steered John Conley through the morass of South Boston, encouraged him to go to college. John went on to Boston College like Billy, and encouraged him to become an FBI agent. So it was this sort of incestuous relationship that literally goes back to the housing projects where they grew up. This is a story about twisted loyalty, the idea that loyalty was all. And that loyalty goes back to neighbor and neighborhood.
Was the information the FBI was receiving worth it, in the sense of, were they receiving quality information from this top echelon informant?
Not from Bulger, but as we kind of show in the book for the first time, there have been other books about Whitey Bulger, but as we show for the first time here, they didn't just get Bulger, they got a two-for-one deal. His partner in crime was Steve Flemmi, an Italian guy. And Flemmi, in fact, did know a lot about the mafia. And that's the way Conley was able to sell it. That you got these two guys who were the biggest gangsters in Boston, and they were giving them information about the mafia. Because that was the national priority of the FBI at the time. They were instructed by J. Edgar Hoover, and, beginning in the you know, it literally went back to the 60s when the Justice Department under Bobby Kennedy suggested that this is where the priority should go. But that was the national priority, is to take out La Cosa Nostra. The problem with national priorities is that they don't take into account regional differences. And in Boston, the FBI should have been taking out Whitey Bulger and Stevie Fleming right along with the Mafia. I remember this is another thing that led me to conclude that Bulger was an informant. I was sitting there listening to the FBI tapes of the Mafia trial in the mid-80s. And when Jerry Angiulo, who was the main target, the head of the Mafia in Boston, during his trial, he's being recorded by these bugs saying, you know, I can't get anybody to kill anybody. Our guys are useless. Here's the head of the Mafia saying the Mafia can't kill anybody. And that, and he, in the same breath, he's talking about how Whitey and Stevie would kill anyone he asked them to. And I'm saying, how are these guys not under indictment? And that's the way that Conley was able to do it. He did get useful information from Steve Fleming, but he got nothing. In terms of the Mafia, he got very little of substance from Whitey Bulger. Of course, now Whitey is claiming today, Joe, that he was never an FBI informant.
Right. And that's sort of the basis of his case, right?
That's his defense. His defense is twofold. It's that he had immunity to commit the acts that he is actually charged with, including murder. I think Whitey's seen too many Jason Bourne movies. You cannot give anybody immunity to go out and kill American citizens. But the other flip side of that, he's saying he was never an informant. He's saying, now, when he got captured in, June of 2011, a lot of people thought he would actually help John Conley. John Conley has been convicted twice, both of racketeering in his initial federal case. He's now serving 40 years for murder in Florida, in which he was convicted of helping Whitey Bulger murder a guy down there that was a potential witness against Bulger. Now, when Whitey got captured, everybody said, hey, John Conley's the only one that stood by him. He's a stand-up guy. Whitey will defend him. Well, that didn't happen that way. I mean, it is true that he actually expressed to other FBI agents that it's unfortunate that John Conley's doing all this time. But he actually was talking to his brother in the jail where he's held in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And he actually said in a conversation that he knew was recorded, because he knows everything in a jail, your conversations are recorded. He said that Conley made up all those reports. He said that he never gave the FBI any information, that he got information from them. So what he is saying is that he paid for the information. So he's saying that Conley took money from him and that he got information from Conley. So John Conley will never get out of prison on the word of Whitey Bulger, that's for sure.
Do you think there are some that speculate because of his health and because of that maybe this one won't even hit trial in June?
Well, my co-author, Shelley Murphy, had a story on the front page of the Boston Globe yesterday talking about the well-documented health problems. Whitey has had a bad heart for much of his adult life. He's been on a medication for it for, you know, decades. But I also said this is a guy who up until recently was doing more than 100 push-ups a day in his 8x12 cell. I think there might be concerns as much for his mental health as for his physical health, because he's held in there 23 hours a day. He gets, you know, 5 days a week. He gets out for 1 hour a day. Now, his attorney, Jay Carney, has said he's not worried about either his physical or his mental health. He thinks he's ready to go to trial. And you know what? What I know about Whitey, I think he's too mean to die on us right now. I think he's too ornery to avoid trial. He wants this trial more than anyone, because he wants to get up there. And you'll see this, the letters that we have in the book that he sent to his old prison friend,
yeah,
in which he says he can't wait to get to this thing he calls the big show, the big circus. He wants to get up there and challenge the narrative. He's sick and tired of people like me and Shelley Murphy setting that narrative. He wants to get up there and say, I was never an informant. They were my informants. I didn't do this. And one thing he really wants to refute is that of the 19 murders, he's charged with killing two women. And that he cannot live with, because that flies in the face of the carefully constructed narrative he's created of the benevolent wise guy, of the gangster with scruples. Yeah, he might have killed a gangster here and then, but he would never kill a woman, and certainly not with his bare hands, and then bury them in secret graves. But that's exactly what Whitey Bulger is charged with, and that's exactly what I believe happened.
It is a it's a riveting story, and it's fascinating. The book is so well written. It's America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice, Whitey Bulger by Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy. It's officially out on Tuesday. It is published by Norton. Kevin, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you and Shelley with the book.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. It's published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.